Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Hey, listen, I'm so excited about today. I can't wait. Listen, I'm right with Keisha. They were leading that song, Lord, Show Us Your Glory. Pastor Nick coming up going, how many of you want to see the glory of God? Let me just help you. If you want to see the glory, you got to give the glory. You got to give God the credit. You got to just recognize and be grateful and just tell God thank you. Can we just do something? Because I think we ought to be the most grateful church in the history of churchdom. I don't even know if that's a word. But today we're celebrating, going into a brand new year. We're setting, God's been good to us, hasn't he, church? It took us 10 and a half years, but God gave us this incredible, can we just take 30 seconds and just thank him for his faithfulness out of 219, even if you didn't like it. No, wait. I ain't 30 seconds ain't beginning yet. Even if you didn't like 2019, you go, that was the worst year of my life. How many of you can at least go, God, thank you, it's over? So can we just do that right now, church? Thanking we're in this beautiful facility that God gave us. We didn't build this for God. God built it for us. Could we just take 30 seconds, just 30, and just let him know? So I'm asking you, can we take 30 seconds and just give God all the glory? You ought to go ahead and stand to your feet now for 30 seconds. Ready? Just come on, just put your hands together, thanking him. Jesus, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. It's all you, only you. You're just showing off. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Nobody but you. Come on, don't wait on me. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Thank you. I didn't like 19, but I thank God it's over. Thank you for a fresh start, new beginning. Finish strong. Here we go. Five more seconds. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Kind of feel the spirit of T.D. Jakes coming upon me. Touch your neighbor before you see it and say, get ready. You may be seated this morning. And I'm going to do two things today. One is we want you to know at the end of this year, we took our legacy offering. And how many of you want to know how we do on that legacy offering? I promised you January 5th, we tell you. That's today. And so we're going to hold true to that promise. But I'm going to tell you at the end of service. Is that okay? So, and today I'm going to take about 20 minutes and I want to do a prequel. That's a preview to the upcoming series that I don't want you to miss, which begins next week. It's called Soundtracks. We're calling it A New Rhythm. Everybody say new rhythm for a new life. If you want something new in your life, if you want to there to be something new in 2020, you're going to have to do something new. If you keep doing the same old thing and expecting something new to happen, you know what they say, that's called insanity. You keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And I think this series, I believe this, could be a game changer for you. I know every message can be a game changer. But then there's some messages or series that you look at and you go, no, this one's really, really gonna be good. And I think part of the reason is that it's not only impacting my life and Heidi's life, what I'm going to be preaching to you, but it also has impacted our senior pastor's life. How many of you know Pastor Jacob? You've met him before. You've heard him preach. Yeah, show him some love. We got an incredible leader. And about 2 months ago, he pulled our directional team, which I said on that, as well as our lead pastors together, and just said, hey, here's what I want 2020 to be. I want it to be the year of health. I want to make sure that our pastors are healthy, spiritually, emotionally, physically, relationally. I want to make sure our staffs are healthy. Pastors, will you go back, make sure your staffs are healthy, physically, emotionally, relationally, physically. And then he said, and then the staffs, I want y'all to turn to your leaders, make sure they're healthy. And because I, he goes, this is Pastor Jacob now. He's type A personality, hard driving, accomplish more. And when he said this, I knew he was serious. He said, I don't care if the church grows or not. I don't care if the church grows or not. Now, my ears perked up. I've never heard him say that before. And he said, because I know if we'll take care of the health, everything that's healthy grows. Let me say it again. Everything that's healthy grows. And if we're healthy, then we're going to grow. And he said, let's focus on health. And so I want to just do a prequel. I want to do a preview of the upcoming series, and then we'll celebrate at the end of the service today. Are y'all okay with that? How many of you know I'm going to do it anyway, whether you're okay or not? And so I want to just talk to you. I want to give you just kind of the preview of where we're going to be going in this series called Soundtracks, A Different Rhythm for a Different Life, or A New Rhythm for a New Life. And I want to just kind of lay a foundation today to give you so that coming to next week, you'll already be tracking with me. Everybody good so far? All right. So I want to just take you, I want to start by just showing you the Ten Commandments. Most of us know these Ten Commandments. You may not be able to say all of them off the top of your head, but you could probably, how many of you think you could probably get, at least get 8 or 10 of them just off the top of your head? Okay, I still have work to do. Nobody here. Okay, all right. So we're going to go ahead and put those, I'm going to put those on the screen for you and see, we're just going to go through them real quick and just see if you remember. Let me remind you, these Ten Commandments were given by Moses to Israel when they were coming out of 400 years of slavery, when Moses led them out of Egypt. And God's going to start a new people, a new nation. He's nation building. And he's not going to give them 100 laws. He's not going to give them 633 laws, which would later be built upon these 10. He's actually only going to give them 10, just 10 simple rules that if we'll just follow these rules, not only with God, but also with one another, everything's going to be all right. And I want to put those on the screen for you. And let's just kind of walk through them real quick. Number one says, you should have no other gods before him. That he ought to be your God. He ought to be first in your life. Can I just ask, are we in agreement with that? That was a little weak. Are we in agreement with that? That he ought to be, how many of you have ever put something else before God? I'm raising my hand with my sweat pits, yes. I've put other things before God. And so, but I'm in agreement with that. Let me give you number two. You shall not make for yourself any idols. And by the way, don't get in your mind creating something out of Play-Doh, lighting a candle, and then worshiping it. I want you to get in your mind what he's saying to you is not to take who God really is and then create him of what you think he is in your own mind, and then worship it. If you've walked with God at any length of time in here, you'll realize the more that you learn and know God, the more you'll realize how much you don't know of God. That he's continually, the more you get to know him, the more you realize, I don't even know him. That you still have place. So what does that mean? That means it doesn't matter if you're walked with God for 30 years like I have, and I know there's some in here that walked much longer than I have, that you still go, I have a long ways to go. How many of you feel like I got a long ways to go? Some of you need to raise your hand. I'm looking. Yeah, you go, it doesn't matter where you get, you still get to the place that you go, I still got a long ways to go. God's still working on me. So how many of you are cool with number two as well? Yeah, we're cool. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. In other words, your mama said you shouldn't say God and didn't connect a bad word with it and say God, beep. That would be taking the Lord's name in vain. Now that's partly true, but it means that you won't use the name of God for your own personal manipulation and your own selfishness. How many of you cool with that one? Go, yeah, we should not manipulate the name of God to get something for ourselves. Number three, we're good with that one. Keep the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and mother. And all the parents said, amen, they're good with that one, okay? How about this one? Number six, you shall not murder. Anybody here commit murder? No, don't raise your hand. What? How about this one? You shall not commit adultery. 30 years ago, did a wedding last night. By the way, Joey and Emily Thibodeau got married last night. So right here, yeah, we celebrate them. They made a covenant. We said that this is not a contract. You're making a covenant not only with each other, but you're making a covenant with God. Till death do you part, that you will forsake all others, and you'll only, you know, with each other. How many of y'all cool with that one? 30 years. I got, well, here's only one, right? How about this one? You should not steal. Y'all good with that one? You shouldn't take something that doesn't belong to you. By the way, he does not give an amount, you know, something really of value. If you take something that doesn't belong to you, you have stolen. And it doesn't say if it's worth $500 or if it's worth a nickel. Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. I'm going to give you a chance to confess. How many of you have ever gone to the bank, drive-thru, pushed the button, here come the whoosh, tube, reached out, there was a pin in there, I'll give you one better than that. How many of you have ever used a pin at the back of one of the chairs that you're sitting at? I wrote my tithe check. Yeah, I guess they get this as a gift. You may not admit to, you know, if you accidentally steal it. How many of you know, it doesn't matter, the value, right? It just doesn't, he didn't say the value. Don't steal. Don't take something that doesn't belong to you. How many of you know that to keep our society well, if you've ever been stolen from, you go, no, it's bad. It's like violated. Someone got into your stuff. And you go, how many of you agree that we shouldn't take stuff from each other? Yeah, absolutely. Well, how about this? Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, you should not lie. Confession. Anybody in here ever told a lie? Raise your hand. If you don't raise your hand, that section over there, y'all are lying right now. Y'all are breaking the commandments. And number 10, you shouldn't covet your neighbor's stuff, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's car. Of course, they had donkeys and mules back there. Don't your neighbor's donkey. That's your neighbor's truck. You go, man, they got a truck. Oh, man, I want one so bad. Look how nice they got. You can't even rejoice with them, right? Man, I got me a new truck. You like it? Yeah, it's all right. Because you coveting it, and then you end up going and getting, buying stuff on credit that you can't afford to impress people you don't like. Right? There's one up there that we say, that's the 10, that's right. But there's one up there, there's one of them that's up there that we really don't take as a commandment. We take it as a suggestion. There's one up there that doesn't get the seriousness of the rest of them. It doesn't get our agreement, like, that's right. There's one up there that we just go, it's not as important as the other nine. There's one that doesn't get its due. There's one that probably you haven't heard a sermon about. If you have, it's been a long, long time. Can you tell me which number that we don't take really seriously? Oh, see, you already knew it, didn't you? It's number four. To take the Sabbath, take a day, and to keep it holy. Today, I'm just going to give you the biblical foundation of that day. Don't miss week one, two, and three, the next 3 weeks, because if you miss it, I'm going to unpack it so that you'll see how it should flesh out in our world and in our culture. But to show you how important that Sabbath really is to God and how important it really is for you so that you could be healthy. Are y'all tracking with me? Everybody, if you're tracking with me, say, I'm tracking with you, Pastor. Okay, good. Let's just jump into the scripture. Let's look where God institutes it. Of course, he institutes it with the Ten Commandments when Moses comes down from Mount Horeb. And let's look at it in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, verse 23. And he told them, because the Lord had appointed tomorrow as a day of seriousness and rest. By the way, look at, well, I'll tell you in a minute, okay? Seriousness and rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord when we must refrain from doing our what? Our daily task. So cook as much as you want to be today and keep what is left for tomorrow. Remember, Israel comes out of Egypt into a wilderness. They have no food. There's about 3 million of them. Moses is going, how are we going to feed all these people? And God says, I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to cause manna or bread to come down from heaven. It'll be on the ground every day. All they have to do is go out and gather the bread. They just walk outside and there's bread on the ground. And so that's what they would do for 6 days. Because on the seventh day, he said, there ain't going to be no manna on the ground on day number seven. And says, and the next morning, the food was wholesome and good without, and he said, I want you to take for 6 days, I want you to gather. But on that sixth day, I want you to gather more than you need because there ain't going to be none out there on the seventh day because the seventh day is a Sabbath, a day for rest. And so, and the next morning, verse 24, the food was wholesome and good. The food that they gathered on day seven, there was without maggots or odor. Remember, they didn't have a refrigerator. Moses said, this is your food for today is the Sabbath to Jehovah, and there will be no food on the ground today, so gather for the 6 days, but on the seventh is the Sabbath, there will be none there for you on that day. But some of the people from Opelousas, does it say that? Anyway, they went out anyway to gather food on that seventh day, the Sabbath. And even though it was a Sabbath, but there wasn't any. How long will these people refuse to obey? The Lord asked Moses, don't they realize that I'm giving them twice as much on the sixth day so that there will be enough for 2 days? For the Lord has given you the seventh day as a Sabbath or a day of rest. Stay in your tents. Don't go out to pick up fruit from the ground that day. And so the people rested on the seventh day. And I want to talk to you about this principle of the Sabbath. Don't miss the next 3 weeks. We're going to unpack it. How does that really impact our lives? But I want to give you four thoughts today about this thing called Sabbath. Vic's going to come help me. I'm going to wrap up in about 10 minutes, and then we're going to celebrate a little bit. Number one, it is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. Again, Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath day to keep it what? Keep it holy. And you're going to say, well, that means Sunday. Look at me right here. Today's not a Sabbath day for me. I'm working today. I'm going to work during 3 services. I'm going to sweat through my jacket. I'm going to go home and pass out. I'm taping the Saints game. Do not text me what the score is. I will remove you from this church. Keep it holy. Keep it holy. Watch this. 6 days you shall labor, do all of your work. So it doesn't say you shouldn't work. Well, don't be lazy. No, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Not your son, your daughter, your servants, not your livestock, not even your livestock within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. He said, this is going to be a commandment. Number two, let me give you this thought. It is also a witness to the world when we take a day of rest. Let me show you what the scripture says. Exodus 31, observe the Sabbath because it's holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it, let me tell you how God's serious about it. He said, they got to be put to death. Whoa, 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 whoa. Put to what? Death. Do you know what the penalty was in the Old Testament if you murdered somebody? Death. Do you know what the penalty was if you committed adultery in the Old Testament? You broke one of those commands. Death. Guess what the penalty was if you didn't keep the Sabbath? Death. Watch what he says. On it you shall not do any work. Your son, daughter, no, I'm same verse. Hold on, next verse. You'll be put to death. Those who do any work that day must be cut off from their people. 6 days' work's to be done. Seventh day is for rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe this Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting what? As a covenant. So it's a lasting promise, even into the New Testament. I'm going to show you. Don't miss that one next 3 weeks. Watch this. But it will be a sign between me and the what? Israelites or God's people forever. For in 6 days he made it. He made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day he rested and was what? How many of you could stand to be refreshed? Oh, no, let me say it again. How many of you go, man, I would love just to be refreshed. And he's saying, watch this. By the way, Heidi and I have been to Israel. We've been to a Sabbath in Israel. We stayed over and we experienced a Sabbath. You know how serious they are? If you walk into the public restroom in the hotel we were staying in, they had a pitcher of water because they used a pitcher of water to wash your hands because you weren't supposed to turn on the water faucet because turning on the water faucet was creating something. And they said, we ain't doing anything. The streets were empty on the Sabbath. No, there were no cars on the streets. We're talking major metropolitan cities. That's like, could you imagine Lafayette, Louisiana without having any traffic on it? Wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? In fact, we went to the elevator and went to the elevator. The elevator doors open and you get on it and you go to push a button and none of the buttons work. And I said, why are the buttons? It's Sabbath. The elevators were obeying the Sabbath. They would stop on every floor. You couldn't punch the floor because it's Sabbath. You're not supposed to punch the button on the floor. Now, that's cray cray. They're still observing the Sabbath. Now, again, I'm going to help you the next 3 weeks, not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. That if you'll capture the spirit of the law, he's promising us something. That you'll do more in 6 days than you'll do in 7 days. That's the promise. Did you hear what I just said? That you'll accomplish more in 6 than you could ever accomplish in 7. In fact, let me show you this. And let me give you number 3. It is serious. Again, he told them, if you break it, you're going to be put outside of the assembly and you must die. But also, let me just tell you this. Israel, not only did he say man was to rest, but he also said, this is an agricultural economy, which means they grew by growing herds or planting crops. And he said, not only do I want my people to rest, but I also want the land to rest. And he instituted a law. In fact, I want to show you in Leviticus chapter 25, Leviticus 25. He said, I want you to speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I'm going to give you, the promised land, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you will sow your fields, and for 6 years you'll prune your vineyards, and you will gather your crops. But in the seventh year, the land is to have a year of Sabbath or rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. Do not sow your fields or prune your vineyards. Do not reap what grows of itself or harvest the grapes of your unintended vines. The land is to have a year of rest. Now, Heidi and I live by a farm, and the farmer let the ground rest just a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago. And so he didn't plant anything. And you know what we found out? I'm driving by and going, look, it started reproducing. They call it a secondary crop. It still was growing, even though he didn't plant anything. He would later give directions and say that whatever it grows is for the beast of the fields, the wild animals, and for the poor. But you're supposed to let the ground rest. Well, guess what Israel does? They were going through those commandments. And they hit number 1, oh yeah, that's good. Number 2, good. Number 3, oh yeah. Number 4, that's a suggestion. Number 5, number 6, they started keeping most of them. They didn't pay attention to number four. They didn't pay attention to this one. And they didn't just go 6 years. This is what ended up happening. Let me tell you what happened. They're growing their crops for six and they start making more. And they thought, well, if we're making so much in six, man, just imagine if we planted in year seven what we'd make. And they did that for seven. They missed a year. And then the next time, the next 7 years, they did the same thing. They skipped a year. They kept planting. They didn't take a Sabbath. They didn't let the land rest. Well, guess how long they keep doing that? 100 years? 200 years? No. 300 years? No. 400 years? No. To be exact, 490 years they didn't let the ground rest. Yeah, that's oh my. 490 years. So all of a sudden, after 490 years, a king from Iraq, back in those days called Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, comes and attacks Israel or Judah and takes all the best of and takes them back, the Jews, captures them, takes them back to Babylon where he lives. And guess how long? They call that the exile. Now remember, they just skipped 70 Sabbaths for the land. Guess how long they had to be in exile? You are smart. 70. Later, God would say, the reason why you're in exile for 70 years is because you didn't let the ground rest for 70 years. I was going to make sure that the land got the Sabbath that it deserved. Look right here. God's not asking you to take a day off for him. He's asking you to take a day off for you. But you don't understand, Pastor, you. I just don't have the time. I mean, I just got so much to do. How many of you know we all get the same amount of time? We all get the same amount of time. Time, the reason why he said, I just don't have time. I know I can hear you. I don't have time. I have too little of time. That's not true. You don't have too little of time. You have too little of faith. You need to ask God not to increase your time, but ask God to increase your faith. Because he promised you, if you'll work six and rest a day, then I will make sure your 6 days are more profitable than it would be if you worked seven. Is somebody hearing me? You go, Pastor, you're saying I should be taking a day off. Yes. Because we've gotten in such a cycle of busyness, we're not content with what we have. We're not at peace of where we are. We end up filling the days instead of allowing taking seriously so that we can be refreshed, so that we could be healthy. Because if we're healthy, we're going to grow. By the way, I'm convinced that some of us fall into sin because we're worn out, we're tired, we're busy, we're overachieving, we get tired, our resistance goes down, and you end up being a target of the enemy for temptation, and he ends up getting you off track because you've been working yourself to death. When God said, I never created you to work yourself to death. Are y'all hearing me? I hear you. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, but what about those lazy people? Listen, lazy people, we got a different, that's a different series. That's a different series. I want to make sure, Pastor Jacob wants to make sure that we're healthy moving into 2020, that you do take a Sabbath. And I'm going to unpack that. What does that really mean? How do you really do that in our next three? And you don't want to miss that. Are y'all hearing me? Our prayer today is not for more time. Our prayer today is that God would give us more faith. Can you pray that with me? Would you just bow your heads with me all over this building? We just kind of lift your hands to the Lord right where you're at. And I just want you to say, Jesus, I hear you. You're serious. You want me to rest. Did you know that the Bible tells you that you can bring your burdens to him? He says, come all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and you can lay them down at him, and he will give you rest. Sabbath was not for God. Sabbath was made for man. It was a gift from God to tell you to take a day off, to replenish, to be with your spouse, to hang out with your kids. Maybe for some of you, it's today to come to church and start off your week with the Lord. Some of you have to work on Sundays. It's not the letter, it's the spirit. And Father, I pray, I ask right now, would you say this with me? Jesus, give me faith to believe your word that you'll accomplish more in 6 days than I can do in seven. I receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, I pray for our people. Rest, 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 rest. Contentment, peace. Let it fall over them that we can trust you. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Christians, would you be praying for your row right now? Maybe today you walked into this house. You might have been an invited guest today. We welcome you. You might be here today and maybe you've walked far from God. Maybe you once knew God and you've walked away. Today, I want to give you the opportunity. Your first step for real rest is to step into a relationship with the one who loves you, who died for you, who cares about you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. For God so loved you that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come to die on a cross to pay for the sins of the world, yours and mine. Jesus said you can't enter the kingdom unless you've been born again, and you can't see the kingdom unless you've been born again. And maybe today you're far from God, but you don't have to leave here far from God. You can enter into a relationship with him today. He's a person. He loves you. And today you go, Pastor, you, how do I get born again? How do I turn my life over to God? It's as easy as A, B, and C. A, admit that you're a sinner. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We put those 10 commandments up there. I promise you, I've broken almost every single one of them. What's the penalty? The penalty is separation from God forever. It's called hell. Oh my gosh. Well, what do? You got to believe, believe that Jesus came. The good news that he came to die in your place, to take your sin from you, to forgive you, to pardon you. And he took the punishment for you. That's why he died on a cross, to take your sin, your guilt, and your shame. And then see, just confess him as Lord and Savior today. This is your invitation to be born again if you're here. This is your day. Don't miss this moment or this opportunity. If that's you today and the Holy Spirit's touching your heart right now, it feels like your heart's gonna beat up, bust out of your chest, that's him. Today, I wanna pray for you. If you say, Pastor, you, I wanna be born again. No one's looking at me. Would you just slip your hand up high and say, remember me in this prayer today. Hold it up high right now. Don't be ashamed. Hold it up high. Thank you. Just one and two. I see your hand. Hold it up high. Thank you, sir. Three and four and five and six and seven. 8, hold it up high, don't be ashamed. 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 hands this morning. Congregation, let's pray with each one of those. Let's just add our voice to theirs. Let's pray this out loud. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go. And that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise and thank him?
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.